I've been sitting on for the past 4 days, and man, I'm excited to give it to you. It's been baking in the oven, and I'm ready for you to receive it this morning. And I want you to know that this is not a throwaway word. This is not a throwaway message. It's not something that you listen to for 1 minute and you never remember again. This is going to be a word that I encourage you hear and you receive into the depths of your soul this morning. Amen. And we are so privileged to be here. And I just want to give honor to our leadership this morning, to Apostle and Prophetess. Thank you for all of your pushing, all of your faith, all of your persistence, endurance, and all the things that you do in the kingdom and in this church. Amen. 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 And I'm so honored to be your associate pastor, saints of God. You all are so beautiful people. And every time I see your face, it makes me smile. And I love when you all smile. Amen. So it's okay to smile in the presence of God. Amen. The Lord was just dealing with me before I get started. He was dealing with me about joy. And sometimes we need to bask in his joy. Life will always hit you with the opposite of joy, and that's fear. It will always hit you with anxiety and depression and pain, but there is joy in his presence. Joy overflowing. And it's the joy of the Lord that's my strength. And so sometimes you just got to say the name. Something about the name of Jesus. It's okay if I just sing for a second. Something about the name of Jesus. It is the sweetest name that I know. Something about the name Jesus. Oh, I thank you, Lord. Something about the name Jesus. Because it is the sweetest name that I know. Because I love you, Jesus, and I worship and adore you, and I just want to tell you that I love you more than anything. Yeah. I love you, I love you, I love you, God, as I love you, Jesus. And I worship and adore you. I just want to tell you, Jesus, Lord, I love you more than anything. Sorry, I'm just feeling him for a moment. Ooh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because it was Jesus that saved you. It was Jesus that healed you. It was Jesus that saved your family. It was Jesus that restored your mind. It was Jesus that pulled you out of that drug addiction. It was Jesus that brought you out of that abusive relationship. It was Jesus that pulled you out of that wrong job. It was the name of Jesus. It wasn't by the power of the name of Eagle Heights. It wasn't by the power of Pastor David, but it was by the power of the name of Jesus. And I need some people this morning that will give the name of Jesus glory, that will give him praise, because he's been good to you, because he's saved you, because he's healed you. And I want to declare this morning that there's no other name above the name of Jesus, the most powerful name. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He's my Prince of Peace. He's my El Shaddai. He's my Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He came in my valley and he brought me to the mountaintop. His name is Jesus. Woo! Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Amen, amen. I just got to honor him. I feel the Lord in this place. He's got something for you this morning. Ooh, I feel you, God. I feel you, God. Sweetest name, I know. Because where would I be? If not for your grace. You came to my rescue. And I just want to say thank you. If not for your grace. Where would my family be if not for your grace, Jesus? came to my rescue. I just want to say thank you. If not for your grace, I just want to say thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. This week, the Lord had me in a place of humbleness. And I was up in the prayer room before teaching the youth, and I love teaching our youth, teaching our young people. And don't worry, I'll preach in a moment. Just stay with me. Can we just enjoy his presence? Amen. And so I started looking out the window and just staring out the window upstairs in the prayer room. My wife goes, "Babe, are you thinking about something? What are you doing?" And I said, "No, I'm just looking at all that God's given us. I'm looking at the property he's given us. I'm looking at the building he's given us. I'm looking at this prayer room that was built by my grandfather. I'm looking at the carpet he gave us. I'm looking at all the things that God brought into this church for us as a people. And I begin to thank him right there. I feel the Lord. I begin to thank him for what he brought into this vision and to this people. I come to tell you, saints of God, this is a miracle church. You're a part of a miracle church. You're a part of a miracle vision. Do not take advantage of. Do not take complacency of. Do not put it under your feet that you are in this building this morning. There are some churches who are meeting under tents, but you are in AC this morning with the comfy seats and the carpet. And God brought me to a place of thankfulness. He said, "Son, if I can bring you here, I can keep bringing you forward more." If he brought you here this morning, he can keep bringing you forward more. God is not finished with your life yet. God's not finished with your family yet. If God brought you to the mountaintop, he equipped you to climb it. I've come to encourage you this morning. You just got to say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you've given me in my life, what you placed in my life. You did not take me this far to leave me empty. You did not take me this far to leave me dry now. But God, you brought me here for a purpose. You brought me here for your plan. You brought me here for your destiny. And you will not leave me, Lord, the same way you found me, Lord. But because of your grace, God, you're taking me to another level, God. He's taking this church to another level, God. He's taking this vision to another level. I've come to declare and decree this morning, he would not have brought us to this building. He would not have brought us to this vision for us to stay stagnant, to stay low, low, low. But God's taking us higher. He's taking us further and wider than we've ever seen before, in the name of Jesus." Woo! I feel him over me this morning. Let us stand for the reading of the word, because you need this. It's been baking in the oven, and I'm bringing it out hot this morning. Amen. Are you ready, saints of God? Ooh, the reading of the word is found in Matthew 15. Matthew 15, 29 through 34. Jesus returned to the Sea of Galilee and climbed a hill and sat down. Next verse. Praise the Lord. The crowd was amazed. Those who hadn't been able to speak. Let's go back to verse 30. We skipped verse 30. A vast crowd brought to him people who were lame, blind, crippled, those who couldn't speak, and many others. They laid them before Jesus, and he healed them all. Verse 31. The crowd was amazed. Those who hadn't been able to speak were talking. The crippled were made well. The lame were walking. And the blind could see again. And they praised the God of Israel. Verse 32, then Jesus called his disciples and told them, "I feel sorry for these people. They have been here with me for 3 days, and they have nothing left to eat, and I don't want to send them away hungry, or they will faint along the way." And the disciples replied, "Where would we get enough food here in the wilderness for such a huge crowd?" Verse 34, Jesus asked them, "How much bread do you have?" And I want us to stop right there. The title of my message this morning is Give God the Bread. Give God the Bread. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We'll finish the rest of that passage in just a moment. But as I was studying this word, Jesus told me, he said, "David, son, I want you to tell them about me." And I said, "Yes, Lord." So I started reading all in Matthew about Jesus, and I could not get past this passage. And for you who don't know, there was actually two times when Jesus fed the multitudes. The first time was when he fed the 5,000. This is not that time. This is actually the second time he fed the multitude. And what I want you to see here in this passage is that Jesus said, "They've been with me for 3 days. what I want you to see in this passage, the Bible is actually telling you that these people were having camp meeting revival. They were not having just a one-hour service, but they were with Jesus for 3 days. They were camped out on this hill with Jesus. He would heal people all day long. They would go to sleep. They'd eat their dinner. They'd wake up the next morning, and they would have church again all day long for 3 days straight. And I want you to see there, people. Many people think Pentecostals are crazy for wanting to have camp meetings, but Pastor Jesus had camp meetings, amen. And he had a three-day-long consistent camp meeting where nobody left the premises. They didn't leave the premises. They stayed right where they were at, and they came to Jesus, and Jesus healed them all. And what we see about this passage is that after the 3 long days, the revival, the camp meeting, the tent crusade is over, and Jesus sees the need of the crowd. He brings the disciples to him. He says, "My disciples, I feel sorry for these people. I feel compassion for these people." In other translations, Jesus says, "I feel pity for these people." What I want you to see is that the crowd never asked for food. But yet Jesus saw the need before it was ever asked for. I'm going somewhere this morning. And what was crazy about this is that in the Greek it says Jesus had a burning deep, I feel you, Lord, deep within his bowels for these people. Even after he had answered the spiritual things of their lives, he had answered the spiritual prophecies, the healings, the miracles. Now he saw their physical need. He said, they need some bread. These people are going to be hungry. These people, when they go home, you see, they had to travel a long way, and I don't want them to faint as they go. And what I need you to see from this passage this morning is that some of you are the people in the crowd. You've been saying, "Jesus, I've been serving you. Jesus, you've been answering all my spiritual needs. But what about my physical needs this morning?" And I've come to tell you, saints of God, that Jesus, just as in this passage, he sees your physical needs this morning. He sees you when you don't know. The need you've not been telling anybody, he's already seen it, and he's already been working it out for your life. The people didn't even have to tell Jesus what the need was. Jesus already knew what the need was, and he said, "I want to take care of that need already." So I want to tell you this morning, don't worry about it. Don't worry. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what test or trial you're going through. For all of you watching online, I don't know what mountain you're having to climb. And it may seem like you're in a crowd. And it may seem like no one is seeing the issue. No one is seeing the need. But I've come to tell you this morning that Jesus sees the need. Jesus has compassion for your needs. He knows that when you're in need, when you're in supply, and Jesus is already working a way out. So if you find yourself climbing, keep on climbing, because Jesus is already answering the need. You see, he feels your emotions you are feeling. He felt compassion, meaning he felt sympathy with an answer. Jesus felt the sympathy, the need of the people, and he wanted to answer it with food, with the physical manifestation of food. You have to understand this morning that Jesus is not a disconnected Jesus. He is not disconnected from your emotional needs. He's not disconnected from what you are saying, "Jesus, I need this in my life." He's not disconnected from how you are feeling. That's why he was Word made in flesh, and he came in flesh to feel exactly what you're feeling, to feel exactly what you're going through. So if you find yourself in the crowd this morning, you can say, "Pastor David, I'm in the crowd. I was in the crowd in that story this morning, and I have a need that Jesus needs to answer." I come to tell you this morning, he feels your need. He feels your emotions. He knows what you're going through. And I've come to declare to you this morning, he's already seen it before you ever asked for it, and he's already working a way out behind the scene. I'm preaching this morning. You see, a lot of the times we fear trials or we have anxiety in the test because we think we are doing it alone. But I've come to declare and decree this morning to this church, to this people, to this vision, we are not alone. You are not alone in your walk with Christ. You are not alone in the things that you're going through. You may be going through life. You may be facing some trials, but you are not alone this morning. I've come to declare and decree to you today that Jesus sees the need. And even though Jesus may seem like he's on top of the hill, he is still right beside you through the valley. He's still right beside you through the test. I want to encourage you this morning, saints of God, it's time to rise up in your faith. Don't have anxiety now. Don't have worry now, because he's right here beside you, and he knows what you're going through, and he sees the need. Thank you, Lord. So the people were receiving from Jesus, and before they could even ask for the other need they had, Jesus already saw it. You see, when you read the Bible, you got to take principles from the story. So the principle we can receive from this passage is that Jesus has actually already seen the need that you have. It got real quiet because some of us don't know. We think, has Jesus really already seen my need? He already has seen your need. He knows the desires of your heart. He knows what doors you're wanting to be open. He knows what family member you're wanting to come into the church and be saved. He knows what you're wanting to see in your life. He already knows it. He already sees it. And he's come to answer you this morning. But you got to stay faithful to the calling. You got to stay faithful to the calling. Don't be weary in well-doing. You may find yourself in this story and you're saying, Pastor Dave, I'm in the crowd. And you see, while the crowd pursued Jesus, they ran out of bread. And you may think, Jesus, I pursued you and I'm starting to run out. Jesus, I've been pursuing you and I'm running out of energy. Jesus, I've been serving you and I'm becoming weary. Jesus, I've been here 3 days now, camping on faith, camping on the word. But there is something, my bread is running out. My bread, my energy is running out. Lord, I need a supply. He's already seen it and he's about to answer it this morning. You see, saints of God, you have to understand, it's not in Jesus' personages, his personality characteristics, to ever leave you empty. That's not Jesus' characteristics. His characteristic is not to leave you empty. That's why when he went to heaven, he sent his helper, the Holy Spirit, not to leave you empty. He says, I will not leave you empty. It's not in Jesus' personage to ever leave you the same way before you came to him. Anyone who came to Jesus and had faith in Jesus was never the same. There was never an instance in the Bible where Jesus touched someone and they left exactly the same way they came to him. So I need you to know this morning that when he sees your need, it's not in his personage to answer the need but leave you the same way. He wants to change your life. It's not in Jesus' personages to leave you out in the desert all by yourself. He's closer than a brother. He's closer than a friend. And he wants to be right next to you at all times of walking your life. I want to encourage you this morning. You may feel like, Pastor Dave, I'm in the crowd of this story. They've been doing crazy things. They've been praising God. But yet, while I'm praising God, my bread's running out. Yet, while I'm in the service, my bread's running out. My energy's running out. I feel like my time's running out. I feel like my destiny's running out. But I've come to tell you this morning, Jesus already seen it. Jesus already sees it. And he's answering you this morning. Yes, amen. You see, the same spirit that was in Jesus is still alive today. So don't ever let anything make you think that Jesus abandoned you. Jesus never abandoned you. And I want to remind you of that this morning, because a lot of times in life, we think Jesus abandoned us. It's me, myself, and I, and I've got to face this trial by myself, and I've got to push through with my strength. But one thing I've come to learn in pastorship and in full-time ministry is I can't do this in my strength. You can't do life in your strength. There is some kind of strength that you get when you get in partnership with Jesus. And what's crazy is that Jesus never abandoned you. He simply was waiting for you to partner with him. He was sitting, I'm preaching today. He was standing right next to you, but he was waiting for your partnership with him. He's waiting for your faith enough. You got to have faith enough to say, while I'm climbing the mountain, he's making my bread. He's restoring my... Come on, somebody. So sometimes you'll find yourself in the crowd, and I want to encourage you this morning. He already sees the need. You may feel like you're running out of bread, but Jesus already sees the need. He has compassion. He has sympathy for your life, and he's come to answer you this morning. Now let's watch this. Let's go to verse 33 through 36. So some of you may find yourself in the crowd, but sometimes you'll find yourself in the position of the disciples. And you are actually the disciples in this story this morning. Watch this. The disciples replied, "Where would we get enough food here in the wilderness for such a huge crowd?" Jesus asked, "How much bread do you have?" How much bread do you have? Turn to your neighbor and say, "How much bread do you have?" Now, I'm not talking about money. I'm not trying to get your money this morning. Please, everybody like, "I got $50 in. I got $50 in bread." No, I'm not saying that kind of bread. Come on, somebody. I'm talking sometimes your bread is your faith. Your bread is your persistence. Your bread is your endurance. Your bread is your energy. Your bread is your time. Your bread is your mental capacity. How much bread? Okay. How much bread do you have? Jesus turned around the conversation. They were confused. They were looking to the surroundings for their answer. Jesus, can you look at the wilderness? Do you see any supply out here? And he goes, how much bread do you have? They replied, we have 7 loaves and a few small fish. So Jesus told all the people to sit down on the ground. Then he took the 7 loaves and the fish, thanked God for them, and broke them into pieces. And he gave them to the disciples, who distributed the food to the crowd. Anyone ever done that before? Jesus asks you and tells you to do something. Jesus says, this is the need I want to answer. And you're like, Jesus, do you see the surroundings? Do you see the job I currently have? Do you see the supply that I currently have? Do you see what this, that's not going to supply for me. And this relationship over here, that's not going to supply for me. God, how am I going to answer what you want for my life? How am I going to answer what you want for my life? How am I going to accomplish what you want for my life with the current supply in the wilderness? The disciples were focused on the wilderness, focused on the surroundings. And Jesus said, how much bread do you have? Sometimes we're so focused on the surroundings. You're so focused on other people's success. We're so focused on what our job can provide that God is telling you this morning how much bread is already in your hand. What have I already given you this morning that I can use to multiply? While you've been asking God for a brand new business idea, he says, how many business ideas have I already placed in your hand? How much bread do you already have? Jesus is asking his saints this morning, how much bread do you have? A lot of times you will stop your promise because you look to an outside source for the answer to his word. But the answer to his word, he already placed in your hand. If he called you to the mountain, he already gave you the tools to climb it. I'm preaching this morning. Woo! So you may be asking, do you see where we're at, Jesus? We got some wilderness, but that's it. Do you see, God, the job I'm working at right now? Do you see the connections of resource I have right now? I feel like I don't have the connections I need to have. Where am I going to find the solution you are desiring with the location, the connections I have right now? And Jesus is asking, how much bread do you have? Turn to someone and say, how much bread do you have? Yeah. You see, while sometimes you look to your surroundings, God is looking at what he has already provided for you. He just needs you to have faith enough that says, what you have given me, Lord, is good enough. The answer was not in the wilderness. The answer was already in their hands. That's why you got to stop devaluing what God has already given you. Some of you have a gift of teaching. Stop devaluing the gift of teaching. Some of you have the gift of encouraging others. Stop devaluing the gift of encouraging others. Some of you have the gift to clean the property. Stop devaluing the gift to clean the property. Stop devaluing what God has already given you. Because what he's already given you, you don't even know. He's already planned that thing to be the thing that feeds the crowd. That's good. You see, well, Pastor David, how do I know if I'm devaluing what God's given me when you're always comparing? When you're always comparing, when you're comparing this church to that church, you're devaluing. When I'm comparing my car to their car, you're devaluing. When you're comparing, oh, my relationship isn't good as their relationship, you're devaluing what God's already given you. Comparison will kill your destiny. If we get stuck on comparison, you will get stuck in a stuck place for the rest of your life. So I've got to not stop looking at the wilderness. Lord, look at all of them out in the wilderness. Look at all their supply out in the wilderness. And God's saying, stop looking to the wilderness. And Jesus asked them, how much bread do you have? You got to look at what God's already given you and stop devaluing what God's given you. You've got to have faith to say, Lord, these 7 little loaves is good enough. Oh, I'm going to teach you on that in just a second. You see, you may be looking for your solution in the surroundings, but the solution is already in your hand. You're looking for greater faith, but he's already sown the seed of faith in your hand. You're looking for a greater leadership, but he's already given you leadership in your spirit, in your body, and you've got to release the leadership. Come on, somebody. And so they were asking Jesus, how do we fix this? And he said, how much bread do you have? Now watch this. After Jesus showed them that the resource was what they already had, he blessed it, broke it, and then told the disciples, go and give it to the crowd. How many knows, with the supply, there came an instruction. With the supply, there came an instruction. Now, I want you to imagine the disciples for a moment. They've also been in revival with Jesus for these past 3 days. And they are human like you and I, and they are hangry. Come on, anybody ever been hangry? Come on, you know what I'm talking about. That was me yesterday after the event of being outside. I came home and I was frustrated. I'm like, I don't know why I'm so frustrated for. And my wife's like, here, honey, just eat this right here. And I was like, and I felt so much better. And the Lord reminded me of Elijah in the Bible. Elijah had to go eat some bread and he had to take a nap. Come on, somebody. Sometimes you just need food and a nap. Amen. So the disciples, they're hangry. There's Jesus, we've been with you for 3 days, and you're asking us to give away our loaves of bread. How many of us, that was the disciples' loaves of bread. They said, we have 7 loaves. And Jesus said, I bless it, break it, give it away. And I can just imagine them going out to the crowd. Jesus, making me give away my lunch. These 7 little loaves is going to feed this 4,000 people. And as they're giving it, come on, you know what I'm talking about this morning. God, you want me to give away some of that blessing you just blessed me with, my tax return? Come on, how is that going to bless the crowd? Come on, how is my faith going to bless the crowd and bless them more faith? Come on, God, that faith was for me. That money was for me. God, that Starbucks gift card was for me. How is me giving it to someone else going to really bless me in the end? So they salty disciples, amen? Come on, they're salty. And so they're giving away the bread. And next thing they know, they notice the bread is not going away. And they rip it off, and then it grows back. They rip it off, and it grows back. They rip it off, and it grows back. They rip it off, and it grows back. And they're saying, Jesus, what are you doing in this moment? And so sometimes what's crazy is that the bread would have never started multiplying if the disciples ate it. You can never have multiplication in your life of what you eat. So when God, watch this, I'll teach you. When God gives you the bread of joy, it will not multiply if you let depression, anxiety come in and eat the bread of joy. He'll give you the bread of finance, but it will never multiply if you don't invest, save, give out to others. If you just consume it and eat it, the loaf was just for you, but you'll never see multiplication in your life. I'm teaching this morning. So many times you thought, okay, Lord, if I take bread and you give me this joy, you give me this blessing, and you subtract from it, it means I'm going to have less. But with Jesus, it works a little bit different. Subtraction actually turns into multiplication when you partner subtraction with faith. Come on, watch this. When you partner it with faith, it turns into multiplication. So with Jesus, math is a little wonky. It's kind of crazy. It boggles our minds. And so it'll stretch your logic and it'll stretch your faith. And so the disciples are handing out this bread and it's their lunch. It's their sack dinner. And they're giving it out and they're like, wow, Jesus, this is crazy. It's multiplying like never before. And Jesus wants you to know that you, whatever's in your life, cannot multiply if you're eating it, if you're consuming it. Love cannot multiply in your life if you are not distributing love out to others. You're not loving your family. You're not loving your church family. It'll just be consumed selfishly in your life. There has to be reciprocation in your life. Just as the soil gives to the trees drop down the leaves and the leaves give back to the soil. There always has to be reciprocation in your life. Jesus never made you to consume, but Jesus made you to be generals of generosity and distribute and distribute and distribute and distribute. And even though it feels like you're leaving empty, he says, no, 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 I'm preparing a way for you. And while you're giving out to others, I'm making a way for you. But you can never see multiplication if you start eating it. The bread of joy, if you start eating it up through the week, you'll never see multiplication. That's why last time I preached about get your mind back. We talked about renovating the mind. Many times you come to church and your mind, God gives you the loaf of happiness. Come on. You got the loaf of happiness after Sunday morning. But you got to distribute it. You got to go testify. Go tell somebody. Pastor David was preaching. Pastor Paul and Don was preaching. Prophetess Brenda was preaching. You got to go distribute it because it will never multiply if you eat it and keep it inside and never speak it and never tell it and never distribute it. Come on. That's good. So watch this. Just as Jesus saw the need of the crowd, he saw the need of the disciples. Jesus will never give you an instruction and forget about your need. You see, Jesus commanded the disciples with an instruction with their last supply. And sometimes God will instruct you with your last supply, your last $5, your last emotional capacity. You are tired from the day, and Jesus says, go talk to that person and tell them that Jesus loves them. Lord, have you seen what I've dealt with today? And it's your last bit of emotional capacity. It's your last thing that you got. But you got to know that just as Jesus sees the need of the crowd, he saw the need of the disciples. And watch this. The release of the bread is not to take away from your life. The release of the bread is to make room for the blessing. If you look at verse 37, it says, they all ate as much as they wanted. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 large baskets of leftover food. I want you to notice this morning, how many loaves did they have? How many baskets did they get? I want you to see here that what they started out with a loaf, they gave out 7 loaves, but the disciples ended up with 7 baskets. I've come to declare and decree to you this morning, when the enemy told you that sowing your time wasn't worth it, he was just trying to prevent the basket blessing in your life. When the enemy told you sowing encouragement in your brothers and sisters wasn't worth it, he was just trying to prevent the basket blessing in your life. I've come to declare and decree this morning that if you give God the bread, he will then return you with the basket blessing, overflowing abundantly, exceedingly above all you could ever ask or think. He's not a God to forget your need. He's not a God to forget about your family. But when you sold the very last piece you had, God says, I'll give you a basket in return. The scripture says, I'll give you beauty for your ashes. But you just got to give God the bread. Give God the bread. Give God the bread this morning. Give God your joy. Give God your energy. Give God your time. Give God your sacrifice. And in return, he will pour out a blessing you cannot contain. In the name of Jesus. And watch this. I want you to know this morning that the crowd of 4,000 couldn't stop the basket blessing. The crowd of 4,000 couldn't stop the overflow. The crowd of 4,000 couldn't stop the multiplication of bread. You see, those 7 loaves turned into a seed that sowed to those crowd, that sowed and fed those people. But even though there was a mass of people, that it couldn't stop the overflow of blessing in return to the disciples. You may have been sowing. You may have been sowing and sowing. Pastor David, I've sowed my time. I've sowed my prayer life. I've sowed my everyday life. I've given up relationships. I've come to declare to you this morning, Jesus has not forgotten about your needs. Jesus has not forgotten about you. And he says, I'm pouring out a basket blessing, exceedingly, abundantly above all you could ever ask or think. I need someone to give God praise this morning, because you're going to receive a basket blessing, not just a loaf blessing, but you sowed, and now it's time to reap the harvest. It's time to receive in your life. It's time to receive in your family. God, we thank you, Lord, for the basket blessing. We thank you, Lord, for the overflow in Jesus' name. We sowed, and we thank you for the harvest in Jesus' name. So I want you to know this morning that nothing can stop the basket blessing. Nothing can stop the blessing. Nothing can stop the blessing. But your blessing is on its way. Your blessing is on its way. But you've got to give God the bread. You've got to give God the bread. You've got to give him your time. You've got to give him your emotions. You've got to give God your faith. You've got to give him your peace. You've got to give him your mindset. You've got to give him your life. You've got to give him your hands. You've got to give him your feet. You've got to give him your shout. You've got to give him your praise. And when you do, he will fill you to overflowing in the name of Jesus. So I've come to declare to this church this morning, nothing is going to stop the blessing. Nothing is going to stop the blessing in Jesus' name. Someone say, give God the bread. You got to have faith in God. If he can multiply the bread, he can multiply in your life. Just give him the bread. Give him the bread. You remember this. Some of you are hungry for bread right now. Just give him the bread. Amen, brother, I'm right there. Give him the bread. I want you to receive this word this morning. Receive it. And know that from this passage, the disciples sowed 7 loaves, but received 7 baskets. What you thought was a small seed of faith, God will give you an ocean of faith. Come on, somebody. But it wasn't until they broke the bread and sowed it that it came back to them. A lot of the times, the reason why you haven't seen the basket blessing is because you're afraid of the breaking. Jesus said, I took the bread and I broke it and I blessed it. You may have to go through some breaking in your life. Jesus says, I'm going to take your faith and I'm going to break it. I'm going to blow up some mindsets. I'm going to break some tribulations in your life. I'm going to break some addictions in your life. You've got to go through the breaking first. You've got to go through the breaking on the altar of God first. There were some times in my life before I could ever preach the word of God, I had to do some breaking at these altars. I had to do some breaking on those drums. I had to do some breaking up underneath those seats, because it doesn't multiply until there is a breaking. Some of you this morning saying, Pastor David, my faith is breaking. My joy is breaking. My peace just feels like it's breaking. But I've come to tell you this morning that that's just part of Jesus' process. He's trying to break it so he can expand it. Come on, somebody. Break it to expand it. Oh, I'm preaching this morning. You may be thinking this morning, Lord, this little loaf of faith in you is all I got, but give it to him. Lord, this little seed I got in my pocket is all I got. Give it to him. What you think is inconvenient, what you think is not important, God says that's actually the seed for the basket blessing. Woo, Jesus. God, will my words of encouragement really help that person a bunch? Yes, it will. Break the bread and bless it in their lives. Bless it in their lives. There were some times, saints of God, you got to understand, as a preacher, I get nervous still to this day before I preach. Sometimes looking at all your faces, it makes my tummy gurgle a little bit. And one time I was preaching a message, and nobody said amen. Ain't no, y'all, I love y'all. Y'all say amen, but ain't nobody say amen. And I said, well, I guess this word ain't good. And I was starting to doubt myself. I was starting to doubt the seed I had just sown. I said, Lord, that word was all I could give to the people. I struggled over that word. I labored over that word. That word was all I could give, and I hope it was good enough. And one person came up to me after service and said, you don't know, but you were preaching to me, preaching right down my lane, and because of you, I can have faith again. Because of you, I can believe again. Never devalue the loaf of bread that God has placed in your hand. If he tells you to sow it, then sow it. I feel Jesus in this place. Someone say, my bread's turning into a basket. Yeah. You see, God's a God of exceedingly abundantly above. That's what your Bible says. That's what your Bible says. So you, from this story, we can see that Jesus took a loaf, fed 4,000 with it, and then gave them leftovers. Seven baskets full. He wants you to not only be filled in your life, that you are able to witness to others out there, but he wants you filled too. And he wants you filled to overflowing. Overflowing in our lives. That's so good. Thank you, Lord. You have to understand, saints of God, there isn't anything that you put into his hands that he can't multiply. There isn't anything you put into his hands that he can't multiply. Pastor David, this little seed of joy I have, put in his hands. Watch it multiply. This little seed of faith that I got, this little seed of energy that I got, put in his hands. Watch it multiply. There is nothing that you put into his hands that he cannot multiply. I want to encourage you this morning. He will multiply it. Woo! You see, when you give God for what he asks, he will give you for what you never thought to ask for. When you give God for what he asks, he will give you what you never thought to ask for. The disciples never asked for the baskets. The disciples never asked for the overflow. They simply said, Lord, yes, we'll be obedient. I may be a little salty because this is my lunch, but I'm going to be obedient anyways. I'm going to serve this crowd of 4,000. And what they never asked for was given back into their lives. If you want unexpected favor, you want unexpected blessings, you got to know that while you're giving, while you're sowing, God is causing others to reciprocate and give you the things you never thought to even ask for in your life. I'm declaring over this church unexpected blessings, unexpected miracles, unexpected signs, what you never thought to even ask for. Someone's just going to offer it into your life. Blessings upon blessings upon blessings in the name of Jesus. You see, when you give God the bread, unexpected blessings are coming to your door. Unexpected favor is coming to your house and family in Jesus' name. Now, you may be wondering this morning, Pastor David, how do you know all this? How do you know that Jesus can really do that? Let me show you. Let's go to John 6 and 35. John 6 and 35. Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Look what Jesus said there. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes, look at that, believes in me will never be thirsty. I want you to know this morning is that Jesus himself said, all you who come to me and believe in me, you'll never be hungry again, you'll never thirst again. He's not just talking about physical hunger and thirst. He's talking about spiritual hunger and thirst. A lot of times we go through our lives, and the reason why it's hard for us to let go of the loaf is because we're hungry for it. God, this and our physical man begins to speak up and say, Lord, that's my last loaf. That's my last loaf of faith. Lord, that's my last Starbucks gift card I had. And God is saying, if you give the bread to me, I'll give you my bread of life. That's the thing, saints of God. When you give God your bread, he says, here, have my bread. When you give God the bread, he says, here, have my bread. This kind of bread will make you never hungry, make you never thirsty, but you will be filled for the rest of your life, filled to overflowing for the rest of your life. And what's crazy about this message, saints of God, is that this simple story of Jesus feeding the 4,000 applies to us today. You may feel like you're part of the crowd and Jesus sees you. You may feel like you're a disciple this morning and Jesus is telling you to go give away what you have. But you got to know that the basket blessing is coming for your life. Don't ever get angry at the direction God uses to feed the crowd. He won't take care of them and then forget about you. That's not what God does. But every seed you've sown has to come to harvest. Every seed you plant, it has to come to harvest. You got to understand that God sees every sacrifice you make. Everything you have given to God, he sees that. Sometimes we give stuff to God and we forgot about it. Like maybe some of you last week, you spent time in prayer. You gave God 3 hours of your time. And now you're like, oh yeah, I did do that. But God still sees it. Even while you've forgotten about it, God still sees it. And you got to know that this morning. You got to believe that and receive that this morning, that God has seen what you have sown. And that God just doesn't see things and just let them die. That's not what God does. But God's saying, I'm preparing the basket blessing for your life. I ask everyone to stand to their feet this morning as I come to a close. What you sowed and took to the crowd, he's saying, it's your time for the basket blessing. It's time to harvest. It's time to believe again. It's time to push again. It's time to press again. Because God would have never called you to sow it or give it away to others if you didn't have already a blessing in mind for your life. That may be money. It may be your time. Like I said, it may be your faith. It may be some love. It may be some joy. And just because you've sown it and it's left your life doesn't mean it's going to leave you empty. It's mean it's making room for more in your life. Do you receive that this morning, saints of God? That God is actually making room for more in your life. Listen, saints of God, I know this is a simple message, real easy, real simple. But I wanted to preach it this morning because God is prophetically declaring over this church that there are basket blessings coming in Jesus' name. They are coming in Jesus' name. What you've sown, I feel you, Lord. What you've sown into your family for the past 30 years, it's coming to harvest. What you've sown in your prayer closet, God says, I see in the secret and I reward you openly. It's coming to harvest. You know, saints of God, there was many times when I would spend 4 hours on my knees outside pulling weeds. And I'll never forget, I'm like, God, do you even see this? Because if you don't see this, why am I pulling weeds for? Anyone ever been there before? You've sown. And you may be asking this morning, God, have you even seen this? Have you seen the sacrifice I've made? Have you seen the seed that I've sown again and again and again, again and again? And Jesus is telling you this morning, yes, I've seen it. I broke it and I blessed it. And it's coming back to you in overflow. It's coming back to you in overflow. And I declare that over this body. I declare that over our online audience. It's coming back to you in overflow. It will not die in Jesus' name. It will not die in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. You see, saints of God, you will never grow. You'll never grow unless you invest. If you want growth in your life, you have to invest. I wanted growth in my preaching, so I invested in an interlinear Hebrew-Greek Bible. I invested in the concordance. I invested to grow. Many Christians think they can grow by just consuming the loaf. But Jesus says you'll never grow that way. You'll never multiply to basket blessing that way. You've got to invest. You got to go plant those loaves. You got to go witness to people on the street. Witness to people on your job, and your faith will grow. Your witness will grow. Your evangelism will grow. And the more that you invest, the more that you give God the bread, the more that he tells you in the instructions, the more you obey it, the more that this church grows, the more that your family grows, the more your finances grow, and the more you will keep on growing in your life. Trust him enough this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thanks to God. I hope this word has blessed you today because, amen. Awesome. Amen. Awesome. Thank you. Awesome. Thank you. Because my heart as a pastor is to see growth in our people. It's to see harvest in our people. And I've been praying for all of y'all. And I want you to know that when God told me to look outside, a lot of times we can get so focused on what others are doing that you forget what God has already given you. And I want us as a body, as this church, as a body of Christ, to shift our mindsets. Lord, what have you already given me? I want you to pray about it this week. Lord, what's already in my hand that you can use for your glory? What's already in my hand? Because there's a lot of us in here, you have so many things already in your hand. And God says, now is the time to use them. Now is the time to use them in the kingdom. Now is the time for them to multiply. Come on, saints of God. Now is the season of multiplication. Now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So I want you to receive that this morning. I want you to grab your neighbor's hand, grab someone's hand. Come on, don't be afraid. Don't be scared. We're all a body of Christ, amen. Because just as the bread fed the crowd, Jesus sees your need. You disciples, he already saw your need. You may be saying, Pastor David, I felt like I've given out all my bread. It was my last lunch. It was my last dinner. Pastor David, that was my last seed. I gave it all out. I obeyed God, and I'm starting to worry. Don't you worry now. The basket blessing is coming to your life. And what I wanted to do for the next couple of minutes is I just want them to play music, and I want you to pray over your brother and your sister, and I want you to pray blessing on them. I want you to pray that the Lord blesses their life. The Lord blesses their finances. The Lord touches their body. Come on, pray for your brother and sister. Don't have to be fancy. Let's go ahead and let's pray for our brothers. Go ahead. Let's play some music. Father, we pray for our brothers and our sisters. We pray for blessing. Out of your spirit, come on. Use that spirit of prayer. Father, we pray for our church family. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We pray that the spirit of worry has to go. We thank you, Lord. You'll not leave us empty. I feel you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You'll not leave my brother empty. You won't leave my sister empty. You won't leave them barren and in a dry land. Woo, God, we pray for our brother and our sister in Christ. We pray multiplication. Multiplication. The crowd will not consume the bread. Woo! Jesus. We declare leftovers, God. We declare exceedingly. We declare abundantly. Above all we could ever ask or think. We declare it over our brothers and our sisters in Jesus' name. Woo! We declare and decree nothing will stop the blessing in Jesus' name. Nothing will stop the blessing in Jesus' name. We come against every hindrance in Jesus' name. on, just one more minute. Pray for your brother. Come on, pray for their family. Have compassion on your brother and sister in Christ. Father, we pray for our brother and sister in Christ. And we thank you, God. You're touching their families. You see the need, Jesus. You see the need, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, you see the need. And you're already providing a way. You're already providing a way in the name of Jesus. Woo! You're already providing a way in the name of Jesus. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We declare and decree overflow upon this body. We declare and decree overflow of blessing upon this body in the name of Jesus. I want everyone to lift up your hands. I want everyone to lift up your hands this morning. You may have came this morning and said, Pastor David, I've given and I've given and I've given. And I'm starting to get worried, but Jesus says, don't worry. I've got a basket blessing for you. Because I'm preparing it, I'm making it, and the crowd will not consume it. The crowd will not consume it. Your surroundings will not consume it, but the abundantly above all is coming to your life in the name of Jesus. We declare and decree overflow, 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 overflow in the name of Jesus upon this body, upon this church, upon this vision. Father, we receive the overflow. We receive your blessing, God, and we thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, in advance. Come on, give God thanks. Give God praise in advance for what he's about to do in your life in the name of Jesus. Encourage the body. Do not worry. Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things, take it to God. Cast all your cares upon him. I know a lot of us, we know that scripture, but sometimes we need to be reminded, we need to be encouraged. And I want to encourage you, the loaf of bread, the little seed that you got, a little bit of faith that you got, a little bit of love that you got, a little bit of excitement that you got, don't devalue it, don't compare it. Let God use it for the blessing in your life. And he told me to tell you, do not worry. You know, sense of God, what's funny is with, Pastor David deals with worry sometimes. And can I just testify for a moment? When we got pregnant, I don't know if you guys saw the reaction video, but when me and Megan got pregnant, I almost fainted. Really out of excitement, because I was like, oh my God, I'm about to be a dad. Holy cow. And then I started thanking God. Thank you, Lord. Wow, that was quick. Thank you. And what's crazy is after the announcement of the blessing to come, you know what came the next day? Worry. A lot of times after the announcement of the blessing to come, like today, what will come tomorrow? Worry. And you know, I was worrying about finances. I was worrying about, you know, pregnancy. That costs a lot of money. And we just, I don't want to be in no debt. Pastor David, I don't want to be in no debt. We on a budget. I know where every penny goes. I know where she got fun money. I got fun money. When you spend it, it's gone. That's it. We ain't doing nothing. We staying home. We eating chicken nuggets. Come on. That's Pastor David, y'all. I'm a steward of God's blessing, amen? I'm a steward. So I was like, Lord, this baby gonna cost $20,000, $30,000. And mama came to me and she said, son, stop worrying. And I'm like, but you don't know. And my wife's like, babe, stop worrying. And I'm like, but you don't know. You don't know. And then we got the announcement that all costs, doctor's visits, birth, medicines, aftercare of everything, the room, private room, everything, $0. $0. $0. $0. And I've come to declare to you this morning, when you are expecting, get rid of the worry out of your life. God is already making a way
for the blessing when there seemed to be no way. When all you gave God was the bread, he says, I'm giving you the basket blessing. I see the need. I see the need. I see what you're going through. I see what you're worrying about. And Jesus says, I will take care of you. In Jesus' name, give God praise, because he cares for you, and he's caring for your family. He's caring for your children. He's caring for this generation. He's caring for this church. He's caring for this vision, and he's overflowing in our lives. Woo. Thank you, God. Woo. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
I feel so strong. Just, can I have 5 more minutes? You feel the weight is going to be heavy, you've got to know you don't have to carry it by yourself. Listen, I know there's some of you this morning, you may not be going through anything, and praise God, hallelujah, keep sowing seed, but some of you are going through some things this morning. But I want you to know, if God can do it for me, like he's done so many times before, he can do it for you. And you may be thinking, God, can God really see that small need I have? Yes. Jesus saw that they were hungry. One of the most simplest human desires, Jesus saw it. And I want you to know this morning, all you in this building, all of you watching online, I want you to know that Jesus sees every need. He has compassion for you. And you do not have to bear the weight alone. And when you trust in him, believe in him, he will give you peace overflowing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can we just thank him one more time? I'm just so thankful. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for this word. Thank you, Lord. You reassured us this morning. Lord, you've encouraged us this morning. Lord, we thank you. Our basket blessing is coming. Lord, an increase of faith, an increase of seed, an increase of favor in our lives, an increase of love, joy, and peace. God, we thank you. It's increasing and it's coming to our lives. God, we thank you that all worry has to go. All anxiety has to go in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for peace. Peace to your people. We declare and decree peace to your people in the name of Jesus. To all of you watching online who are sick at home, we declare and decree peace to your body, healing to your body in the name of Jesus. We declare and decree peace to our families. We declare and decree blessing, Lord, as we go home today, a blessing of peace in our households and of joy and of laughter. And God, we thank you that all worry has to fall, all anxiety has to fall before your knees, God. And Father, we glorify you, we thank you, we give you honor, and we give you praise. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Wow, wow, wow. Man,
Pastor David, and I know that you don't design the strategy like this because the Holy Ghost does, but in the next few moments, could we sow a seed directly because of this message and give God some bread and just sow a seed? But I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. We're going to sow as a church. How many days was that crowd with Jesus?
3 days.
How many days is fully endowed? 3 days. Wow. We're going to be sowing as a church of our time this week, our energy this week, of everything this week to the masses. You're going to feel tired. You're going to feel the give out. But we're going to be multiplying into these folks that are coming from all over. And at the end, we're going to see the basket blessing arrive at the end of Fully Endowed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So would you take time to sow right now? Sow something, a seed in advance. This is such a prophetic and profound message upon today. Whatever that the Lord leads you to sow. So I'm reaching in. And I thought I had the big bill, and I was going to move faster, and I had the small ones, but I'm going to sow. Praise the Lord. And you can sow at home also. The giving ways are there. But let's put give God some of the bread. This week we're going to be giving him our time and our energy as we transform this many times over. Gentlemen, before you leave upon today, please sign up, get with me and sign up, because we're going to need many hands to transform. We're going to be transforming the auditorium on several times in these 3 days, praise the Lord, and then back again. It's going to take a number of us, and by doing so, I'll have the sign-up sheet out there at the reception area, and we can get signed up, because we're going to help. We're going to distribute what God has placed up in this house, hallelujah, and it's going to multiply. They're going to be fed to full to overflowing. And we're going to get to overflow. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. And continued prayer. We thank you, Lord, for strengthening Pastor David as he has given out to us and give us the word of God, such a wonderful masterpiece. And we thank you, Lord, for giving him strength in return. Father, we thank you, Lord, that every bit of this that we sow to you is blessed. It breaks, it multiplies, and this week, the multiplication, the expansion. Lord, you don't even have to wait for next year for the seed to start expanding. It can expand immediately. According to your word, where the reaper will overtake the sower, and the sower overtake the reaper, because it's happening so quickly. I speak an acceleration upon everything that we give, an acceleration in Jesus' mighty name. And we give you all the praise, Lord. Amen and amen and amen. Amen. Give God another round of applause. And you were singing. I want to sing that one time too. We're singing Jesus, right? Yep. Sing this through, because this is ringing in the atmosphere. The name of Jesus, that name that is so powerful, that name that all authority of heaven and earth is in, the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.